Now broadcasting the webcomic beacon.
Hello and welcome to episode 122 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, and we are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomic hosting and community site at rampagenetwork.com. I'm Fess of psiwebcomic.com, and no Mark Savory today, but we do have Tanya Higgins of daisiesandshit.com. Welcome to the show.
Hello, hello.
I was getting a little worried there that you weren't waking up.
I'm good. It's all good. Yay.
Yay.
It's Sunday morning and I'm, you know, in bed.
Sunday morning. This webcomic beacon, your webcomic religion. No, I'm just kidding. That's bad. Anyway, this week, we are going to be reapproaching the subject of photo comics. We did have a show, I don't remember when, last year probably, that we did on photo comics. It was just me and Anthony and Anthony's photographer from Night Zero. And Anthony is with us again today. So, Anthony, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And let's see here. We're going to, for those that may not remember from last time, could you give us a brief synopsis about what Night Zero is?
Night Zero is a photographic novel of the post-apocalypse. So we are a zombie comic book that's produced in Seattle that tells different tales and stories of the zombie apocalypse in Seattle using a rage type of infectious zombie virus and the collapse of civilization and then the survivors' attempts to rebuild some sort of society.
Awesome. And there's a second book out, correct?
Yeah, we've been around for about 2.5 years, and we've published 2 volumes of just collected works that we've done.
Well, all right. And going down the dais here, we also have Cisco Davis Jr. of PureAndHiddenTruth.com. Welcome to the show.
Hi, what's up?
Well, doing a podcast.
Oh.
Okay, so... you have this. You also have a. Obviously, you have a photo comic. That's why you're here. That's why we invited you.
Yeah.
Could you give us a brief synopsis about what Pure and Hidden Truth is all about?
The Pure and Hidden Truth is about these two paranormal investigators who work for a paranormal magazine called Hidden Truth Magazine. And basically, the gimmick is that they both have supernatural secrets of their own. One is a psychic who can see and talk to ghosts, and the other is a werewolf. And it's basically, you know, it's filled with all kinds of paranormal, supernatural stories. You know, it has vampires, aliens, ghosts, anything in there that's just weird and supernatural.
Okay.
Pretty much it.
Well, awesome. And let's see here. Do you have any books published yet, or?
Not yet. Well, you should get our first volume out by July or August. Ready
Excellent.
For print.
Oh, good. So it's coming right up.
Yeah. Yeah, coming right up.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And last but not least, we have, I hope I'm going to say this correctly, Arne Schulenberg?
Yeah, it's okay. Like that.
All right. Of Union of Heroes at unionofheroes.com. It's available in both English and German. And... is it Arne or is it Arnie?
Arne.
Arne.
Okay. Yeah, right, correct.
Okay, sorry. I try to pronounce names correctly. So if you please, can you give us a brief synopsis about what Union of Heroes is?
Union of Heroes is a photo comic about superheroes from Germany. And with real actors and not a parody, but a decent storyline, which and both things are very untypical for German superheroes, because German superheroes normally in Germany everybody does only superhero parodies, and so I am as niche can, because nobody really reads photo comics, and nobody really reads knows real superheroes from Germany, and so I've decided to go where nobody has gone before.
Do you have any published works coming out, or is it pretty much just online right now?
It's pretty much online right now, and I'm thinking about publishing it in print too, but I don't know yet whether I will do it with a... I'm still searching for a publisher.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the money to do it by myself right now, and so I'm trying to find someone who has this money and takes the risk publishing it.
Yeah.
Alrighty, cool. Yep. Well, good luck with that. And let's see here, where to start, where to start. That's the exact next question. How did you guys think about getting into this? And I'm not entirely sure how to ask everyone at the same time. if you guys would just like to talk amongst yourselves. And I don't know. I'm trying to think of the best way to go about this.
Just assign someone to answer
first. Anthony.
Hello.
How did you decide to do this? To come up with your story and do it in photocomic form? We had you on before, and you actually you get licenses and everything. What made you think of doing it this way?
Well, I'm a theater person by nature, so a lot of my friends are actors and film producers and, you know, very artistic people. So the comic book that's typically illustrated is done by somebody who has some talent in illustration, which I do not have. But my talent is really in story development and direction with the theater. So it was a natural fit to try and do something more group involved with an ensemble. And a friend of mine happened to buy a video, a digital camera, and wanted some reason to experiment and learn how to do photography. So we just put those together and spent about 6 months playing around, seeing if it was possible to make some sort of comic book with photography and zombies. And it sort of exploded, and here we are 2.5 years later with our last book took over 200 people to make.
Wow.
And we're just getting bigger and bigger.
Awesome.
I'm just going to go. Did you have a comment? Sorry, Tanya.
No. I said that's quite a cast and crew. I mean, it's everyone hates crowd scenes, but it's you know, it's one thing to have to draw 200 people. It's another thing to have to find them and get them to spend their time, you know, staging this up. That's impressive.
And the that's not even counting the section that's running online right now, which is a protest shoot we did last September, which had about 100 extras in this downtown shoot, plus 50 cast and crew, just for this one scene that we wanted to shoot.
Do you like put up postings at like a college somewhere? And
for that one, actually, we sent emails to everybody who stopped by our booth at the Emerald City Comic Con. And that's how we got all that huge following. So when that comes out in our next book, the next book will have probably 400 people contributing thanks to that huge shoot we did.
Wow. Crazy. Well, Cisco, the question is put on to you. How did you come up with the concept and decide to do it as a photo comic?
Okay, like, the concept, I used to watch Sci-Fi Channel a lot, mm-hmm. and there's this one show called Ghost Hunters, and I just wanted to parody that, and, you know, just, I thought of this, this ragtag team of paranormal investigators, you know, and they were all, you know, one's a vampire, one's a werewolf, one's a psychic, you know, all the people that are in the comic, and, you know, they would just go around and do silly things, and it just snowballed into the story that I'm doing now, but The reason I did it as a comic book was because I wanted to shoot it as a TV pilot. And so, you know, I wrote the script for the TV show,
mm-hmm.
and I knew that if I shot it, it would look like a home movie, and I didn't like a backyard movie, and I didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I decided to write it as a book. And, you know, I'm stubborn. I'm probably the most stubborn person here on this like panel or whatever. And I just I needed to be visual with it. I wanted people to see what I saw in my head. I guess I'm a little bit of a control freak. So I just, you know, I just took pictures of people as my characters, and then it just snowballed into the comic book, and that's how I got here.
So. Sorry, Tanya.
No, that's good. Go.
Okay. I have to ask, how much of X-Files is influenced in your comic?
I'll be 150% honest with you. I never, ever watched X-Files. My mom watched X-Files, and you know, I used to be deathly afraid of aliens when I was little, and she would call me over, you know, whenever there's like an alien on the screen or something, just to scare me. But I never watched X-Files.
That's parenting right there.
Oh, mom.
Yep.
Hey, that thing that terrifies you is on. Come here.
I never watched the X-Files ever. Never saw any of the movies either.
Oh. Well, that's fine. Not the movies, but...
That's fine.
oh, well. Let's see here. Have you ever had to work with, like, a large number of people, like Anthony was talking about, in your comic?
No, I haven't, fortunately. no, I haven't. Most of it is just, like, small crew, you know? I casted everybody through Craigslist. I just put an ad out on Craigslist, and that's how I found every single person I've worked with for any project. I think the most people I've ever had in a single scene was like, I don't know, 4 or 5.
That makes sense.
That's changing as I'm going into bigger and better projects. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for the comic, it was mostly small crew, small cast, and yeah.
Yeah, we'll get into your film project a little bit later in the show.
Cool.
Awesome. Okay. Now, trying to remember how to pronounce it again. Arne? Arne. Okay, how did you come about with this idea to do Union of Heroes and then also decide to do it as a photocomic?
Well, it started because I wanted to work together with Jens Sundheim, my photographer.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to do a project together, and first was that the two of us, we wanted to do advertising and get some clients and work together as a graphic designer and a photographer. Hmm. And then we started to join a business plan competition. And there they told us to win such a competition, there are 4 things necessary. You have to write a good business plan. You have to, the people who want to get this business going have to be good. You should produce new jobs, and you should have an innovative idea. And then there were the two of us, and we were looking at each other, and we said, well, yeah, of course our business plan will be brilliant, and the two of us, we are brilliant too, but a photographer and a graphic designer working together, that's not a very innovative idea, and we only produce our own jobs, so we won't win here.
Right.
And then it was like a flash, oh, I have an idea, bing, let's produce a photocomic. Maybe with the possibility that local agencies can appear in the comic and we can do advertising, and so we don't produce another website or another flyer or something, but we produce a photocomic and sell it to the people so that they can be inside, and that it is a new kind of advertising model.
Mm-hmm. Like and, product placement, you're saying?
With product placement, right. And then they asked me, he asked me, yeah, but what story should we tell? And I said, yeah, let's tell a story which is totally untypical for German. Let's tell a decent superhero story. Because there aren't any superheroes around here. We know, of course, we know Superman and Batman and Spider-Man, but all the superheroes known in Germany are American, English, or Japanese. Oh. There are no real German superheroes, and I want to tell a story about them, which is based in Germany, so that local clients also have their audience, where they say, yeah, look here, I know this place and I've shopped there before or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we wrote our business plan and we went to the to a mentor there who told us what to do and what how to improve it. And when he, after 1 hour of talking, finally looked into our eyes and came closer and said, "You know something? In point of innovation, you are really, really top of the mountain there."
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we won the first round of this competition, and we went in the top 20 in the second round. And everybody who looked in this plan told us, "Well, I don't know if you can make money with it, but I think you can, and I really want to see the final product." And this was 100% that everybody always told us, "Yeah, I really want to see this, I really want to see this." And then we decided, okay, then we have to go to a bank and take a credit and push it and create it. And here we are, 2.5 years later, and we are still producing it. And still hoping that we finally will get enough clients so that it brings us some money back.
Now you've actually had some product placement in the comic before, haven't you?
We had. Yeah.
Was one for like clothing or something like that? I think it
there was one clothes and knives in the beginning of the story. a producer of knives, but I think that the good thing about it is that I always mainly focus on the story, and I really want to tell an interesting and entertaining story. And the product placement, well, it is sometimes there, and sometimes the reader also notices it. And so, but I think that I am I've never really crossed the line that they say, "Oh, he wants to sell me something," and then stays away from the comic because he doesn't like it anymore. So that's a line where you always have to take a look. Can I do this, or is it too far? But I think so far the focus for me is more to produce an entertaining superhero story, and as long as it is entertaining and funny and interesting, I think that the readers will forgive me from time to time that so they can see that there is some advertising too.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Yeah, that's the idea behind it. And you can't make... I think that I want to make money with this project, and I want to earn money to support my family, and this is the main project I'm focusing on. And so I have to try everything which is possible to get money for this project, because it already produces some costs. I have to pay some of the actors. I have to pay from time to time photographer too. So there needs to be a place where I can also get some money from it.
Right.
And that's the advertising.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Anthony and Siska, have either of you ever worked with product placement or... like product placement or advertising within the comic itself?
Nothing within the comic world for us. Something that was discussed way back in the beginning, but we've never really had an avenue to approach that. We have talked with some other people about doing special comics for them, but within our storyline, within our world, we've never really found a good match, since we're post-apocalyptic, since we're, you know, the end of the world and all that. There's not a lot of places where we saw that would work very well. So it's something that we're still open to.
You could always sell fire axes and baseball.
Well, drinking does play a large part in our storyline, so maybe some liquor companies wanted to invest. But
yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I haven't really approached that too seriously. It's been discussed, but we never really looked into it that much.
It might be something to look into, like Absolute Vodka or something like that. I have seen like some like, you know, big name liquor companies basically send like teams out to like bars like to give away like various merch and such like that. So I don't think it'd be totally improbable.
No, yeah. No.
So, you know, just a little, just one of the bottles, you know, where the label's facing the camera every once in a while. Product placement, you know.
Very subtle, very subtle. Subtle.
If nothing else, you might get liquor out of it.
So. Yeah,
free liquor for the shoes. That's something I could pay to crew with.
Keep your crew happy.
Cisco, what about you?
No, nothing for me. No product placement. Never really thought about it. Nah, it's like, I mean, maybe for like future stuff, but yeah, not for my comic, definitely.
Okay.
never crossed my mind.
Okay. Well, Cisco, I'm going to ask you next. We're going to have to take a quick break here. When we come back, I am going to start off Cisco with a question about. I don't know. We'll get back to that later. Darn it.
Have news, questions, comments, or advertising inquiries? Transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or dial 1-320-310-0922.
Hello.
Hey, Mark. Welcome to the show.
Wow, thank you.
Has the storm passed?
Yeah, you know, it was this big red scar on the weather map was going to come right overhead, and it was just like some sort of moderately heavy rain, and then it was gone.
Wasn't like a big cloud of mayflies showing up on Doppler.
Pretty much. I was afraid it would be a big old hefty storm, but... It was disappointing in that regard, but it means I get to be here. Yay!
Yay! All right. Well, we are back, and once again, we have Anthony of Night Zero. We have Arne, if I'm saying that right, of Union of Heroes, and Cisco Davis Jr. of Pure and Hidden Truth. And I'll be starting off with asking with Cisco, as far as the actors that you have, I'm not sure if this is incorrect and implied or not how you're supposed to ask, but do you pay your actors anything, or do you at least cater, or is like how does that work when dealing with your live action actors?
I do not pay them. When we first started, I would pay them with like a maybe after a shoot we would have like dinner or something, and I would treat them to dinner. I used to give them gas money for coming out for a shoot because. I think when we first started, or a little after we first started shooting, like gas is when gas was really high. It's like, you know, $4 a gallon. So right. I'd give them some money for gas. But for the most part, if I offer them anything, they would reject it. Because most people, they just want to, you know, get the exposure. And plus, we just have a lot of fun. And, you know, it kind of sucks to pay to get paid to have fun. So,
it's
yeah,
like LARPing with purpose.
LARPing with purpose? Did you just say what?
It's like LARPing with a purpose.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Well, no man chancel here, so.
What about stunts? How do you do that safely? Or do you worry about? I mean, I don't know. How would you do that with heroes?
I do worry, but I don't make them do too much. There was one time when we filmed something on some train tracks. And we were going to wait for the train to go by because the train wasn't supposed to be in the scene. And they're like, let's fight in front of the train. I was like, okay. And they started play fighting in front of the train. Like, it was totally unplanned. But I worked it into the comic, and, you know, it changed the story up a little bit. But, I mean, yeah, I was scared to death. I was, like, holding on to them as I was taking pictures. It was crazy. But, yeah.
Action!
Yeah. I imagine there's like a lot of like superhero fist fights and jumping and running and stuff like that.
We'd have to ask Arne about that. I do apologize for horribly saying your name. But I know there's a lot of like, you know, Mark brought up the superhero punching and stuff, and then you also have like animated sequences too. So what's your plan of attack for that? Also, what's the how do you work with your actors?
Well, I'm quite lucky that some of my actors know karate. Ah. So they are trained and know how to move and how to fight in a way that it looks okay and that it looks like the people know what they are doing there. So the superhero fighting isn't that big problem because I always decide on which characters I want to have fight together or fight against somebody, then I decide to cast the person as someone who knows what who is doing there. So, for example, the character of the master who trains my heroes, he really is a karate master working here in Dortmund. And so he really knows how to move. And when he jumps, then it really looks like someone jumping and giving a kick during the jump. And in this case, it's quite easy to produce the pictures. And the special effects, yeah, I do my scripts and I'm thinking about, oh, I could do something with a special effect here. And then we do the photo shooting with the moving characters and we do quick photos one after the other and I put them together so that we have little animations and place some effects in Photoshop above them so that it looks quite good, I think.
You have the camera set up, so take like five shots at a time, like click 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 click, all by itself.
Something like that, right?
Okay, I was wondering how many times you had to like retake a picture. Hey, jump and kick him again, sir.
Yeah, it's something like that. We sometimes produce three or four sessions of these movements, and then we take a look which one was the best one, or take some pictures from the others and put them inside too. So up to this point, we were very very happy that it always went out like I thought it should. And that we could use the final animation, because sometimes maybe we will come to a point where I have the idea, oh, we could do this, and then it doesn't work out, and it looks like crap, and then I won't use it, and I will only use one picture instead.
Okay. All right. And with working with your actors, I do remember you had like a YouTube video thing that you're talking about, how you work with Union and Heroes and your actors. Are any of them paid, or is it basically kind of like you cater, or, you know, what's the relationship there?
Well, there are some paid actors, but right now I'm lacking the money to pay them, so they work for free because they also have the hope that one day maybe the print version or something will bring the money back so that I can pay them.
Mm-hmm.
And some only do it for the fun. Because they really like what we are doing and they want to be a part of it. And, of course, good catering is key. So I always pay for the food and pay for the train tickets or for the gas so that they don't have to pay anything and can only be here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a good catering and everybody is having fun during the photo shoot, they always say, oh, when is the next one? When can we do this together again?
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, that's really fun.
And I'm going to pose the question right back to Anthony of Night Zero. Essentially, what we've been talking about already, the relationship with your actors, for one.
Well, our actors are all local theater people, so they have a... They're already used to doing work for very little to no pay, which is useful for us because, again, like everybody else with our project, there's really no money coming in from it. It's all volunteer, so I haven't had to pay anybody yet, which is nice because we can spend that money on, you know, the costumes and the props and getting the locations that we need and things like makeup and new technology for the cameras.
Right.
But most of them are just very excited to be a part. It was a little bit harder in the beginning when we were still starting out. But nowadays we have, you know, enough of a reputation. We have the quality product to show people.
Mm-hmm.
That most people can't wait for their chance to appear.
cool.
That's the same for me. It's really getting easier to get new actors, because when you show them the final project and you say you can be a part of it, then most of the people read the story and say, oh yeah, I want to be. It really is getting easier to get new actors. And there are also people approaching me, asking me whether they can be a part of it.
Oh, cool.
That happens, yeah. That happens a lot.
Do you guys... I'm sorry if this is already asked, because I came late to the party. Do you guys ever work with so-called reels? People who, you know, they actually have a superhero persona, and they go out and do charity work and things like that.
Can I say I hope not?
I've never heard of somebody like that. Those people exist?
Yes.
It's true. It's true. They actually go, quote-unquote, on patrol, and some of it's tongue-in-cheek, but some people take it very seriously, kinda, and they like call themselves reels, as in real superheroes.
I know that there is a kind of real-life superhero community website. But I am in Germany, and so this kind of movement has not reached Germany yet. So I think it's a kind of American movement, and English maybe too. There are some guys in England too, but there are, as far as I know, there are no real life superheroes in Germany yet.
It's an untapped market in Germany. Go!
Of course, I would also place them in the story if they would approach me, but I haven't found them so far, so there is no chance to work with them.
Oh, well, let's see here. I had a question, but I totally forgot. Tanya, do you have any questions for our group today?
No, you've kind of covered the things that I was going to ask. I was mainly curious, how do you get people to do this? Is this like, you know, I saw it as maybe extended LARPing sort of thing, but no, you got it. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Now, I know that, Anthony, you have to get licenses to actually film in certain locations, correct?
Correct, yes.
Are these like public areas that you need licenses for? Or are some of it on private property that you don't need a license for?
Anything that is on public or publicly accessible property, we go through the city of Seattle, and it's the same process as getting a film permit. So even though we're not shooting, like moving pictures, it's the same process, the same permit, the same applications. So we've gotten very good at that. And then shooting on private property, we don't need to have a permit, but many of them will require that we have production insurance. So normally it's one or the other, and then if we're doing a big shoot in public property, the city also requires us to have production insurance and deposits and all this stuff. If it's a smaller shoot, they'll let it in under the radar, and if you have less than five people working on it, you don't need to have the insurance. So there are a lot of different levels that we produce at depending on where we're shooting. Some places they'll take a small fee, and then we can work there. Some places we'll do it for free as long as we have insurance. Mm-hmm. The city, the permit's $25, and that's good for up to a week of shooting.
Okay.
I would be totally tempted to just sneak in with a bunch of people and do it without anybody noticing.
Guerrilla steal tactics. Locations?
And then leave. I would be absolutely tempted to do that. It's nice to know that you're
that's
more
pure,
involved.
That's a pure hidden style.
Yeah,
I was just about to ask, do you get permits, Cisco?
Batman.
Oh, heck no.
Oh, heck no.
No, I don't. We're the pure hidden style is the guerrilla style, guerrilla filmmaking style. We go out and we do what we get, we do what we need to, we shoot what we need to shoot, get out of there as soon as possible, and no questions asked. Any other place we might have permission from, you know, like we shot on a ranch once, and he's like kind of a neighbor. So like, hey, can we film here? We take some pictures here. And he's like, oh, sure. So you know, we can get permission, but anything else, yeah, we just get in and out as quickly as possible.
That's how we started too back during our so-called pilot production. We were figuring it out, but now that we have half hour setup for costumes, an hour setup for makeup. We have lights that we need to move around, generators, and you know, half a dozen production assistants. It's sort of it's too big to sneak in. Yeah,
you know, even see us just there. With the mass number of people, to just bring 100 people to, you know, the front of a major corporation and be like, no, we just happen to be here. Ignore the lights.
We're just walking by.
You're only here by coincidence.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
How do you deal with people? How do you deal with people at the location who, you know, they come up and gawk or whatever?
Well, if that's another reason that if you have the permit, part of the permit application, you can shut off pedestrian ways, you can shut off traffic, you can have intermittent control and things like that. So, like when we did our big shoot downtown, we had 3 police officers on location. So if we needed to shut down a street so there are no cars in the background, or if we needed to, you know, keep the crazy people from wandering into our shots, you know, that comes with getting the permit.
I would want to abuse that. I want to just go get permits now just to reroute traffic.
Is that expensive, getting the permits?
Pretty cheap, actually.
Really? The permit itself is not expensive. I mean, it's $25 for the thing. It's more expensive if you have police officers and production insurance and things like that. So we try and toe the line between staying small enough that we don't need to have all of those things, but then within that, getting as much out of it as we can.
Right. I'm kind of wondering if maybe, well, like Seattle, I mean, that's going to be harder to try to get away with something guerrilla style. Cisco, can I ask, like, what cities you film in where maybe it's just smaller where you could probably get away with that?
I film everything or shoot everything in my town of Glen Burnie, Maryland, like right in between Baltimore and Washington, D.C., and yeah, we can get away with a lot here. Plus, I have a county government job, and I have a lot of liberties that I exploit.
Whatever works then, I guess.
Do you have the same issues where you need permits and things like that, or?
Yeah. Well, so far I've always most of the time worked at locations where I didn't need them, and on the other locations I didn't ask for them, and we also only produce the photos, but we are only a very very small crew, so there are only the photographer, the actors, and me, and we don't have much lightning stuff or something else. So it was more the go there, produce the photos, and if somebody arrives and asks what you're doing, tell him, and if he cries for help and asks for the police, then run away approach. He did not had any problems so far. And the other good thing is that because of this being a project arising from a business plan, I have talked to very many people from the local town support of business plans and all this stuff. So the local agencies know about us and all will support the project because they really like it. And if I need some papers which allow me that I can do photo shooting somewhere, I can go there and they will help me get them. So it isn't a real problem.
Very cool. A very tight community, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's very fun because I'm always going to events where local creative agencies present their projects, and I'm presenting my Union of Heroes there. And so I'm always in a very close contact to the organizations to support these events. And they always keep on asking, oh, how are the superheroes going? And do you need something? Can we help you with something and all this stuff? So they are quite supportive here. The only thing with what they don't have is money. And that's a problem. But if you need support, it isn't a problem at all.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. Let's see here. Am I correct in assuming that all of you have a separate photographer, or does anybody do some photographing themselves?
Only as a last resort. There have been times when the photographers couldn't schedule or something like that where I've done it, but for the most part we have one primary photographer and then 2 or 3 others who come by from time to time to either shoot as a B unit or if the primary can't make it and stuff. But it's very, very helpful to have somebody working on the camera side of things and the lenses and the lighting and stuff, so I can focus on the actors and the scene work and the expressions.
Yeah.
I suspected as much. I have a friend that works in photography, so...
Oh, keep going.
I was going to say, I have a friend that works in photography, I mean, you got people that, you know, hey, it's just point and click, and then it's like, no, it's a lot more than that.
There's a lot more to photography than point and click.
There's a lot more to good photography than point and click. Yeah.
No, it's just my style.
I take my own pictures. I have somebody there to help me. Oh, thank you. I take my own pictures, but I do have like a crew person help me switch out lens and assistant direct. Mm-hmm. You know, they just it's good to have somebody there to kind of like as a backbone to catch something that you might not catch.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, I do have a backup system, a safety net.
Well, awesome. And with that, we're going to go take our second break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Cisco's film project. We'll be right back. That was Take the Picture from Red Light Go from Music Alley from Mevio. And we're back! A real break for a change. How about that? And, well, let's see here. So, before the break, we were talking about all sorts of crazy stuff. But we left off on Cisco of Pure and Hidden Truth has a film project called The Peculiars. And Cisco, I would love you to tell us about The Peculiars.
Okay, where do I begin? The Peculiars is it's a spinoff from my comic book. It's all set in the Pure and Hidden Truth universe called the Pure and Hidden Verse. You know, I always told myself that I wanted to be just like Tyler Perry, but just not as annoying. So this is my this is my branching out into that field for my, you know, future work. But The Peculiar Death, it's a superhero movie that takes place here in Baltimore, and it's about this team of public superheroes, kind of like Fantastic Four. And they're, you know, everybody knows where they are. They have like a home, they have a office building, and they're dealing with this terrorist group of mimes, and that's the basic story without getting too in-depth. And I'm going through all the proper channels like Anthony does, you know, so I know all about the film permits, you know, the crews, the insurance, and all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well,
it's going to be fun. It's what I've always wanted to do, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what I'd like to ask is, can you describe or go into the thought process or the transition of when you're looking at your comic and, okay, I'm going to make a film?
Yeah, like, here's the thing. Like, when I worked on the comic, like, the whole time in the back of my head, I was like, I really want to be shooting this. And, you know, I got comfortable with the comic. And, you know, when you get comfortable with something, that's when you know it's time, you know, you got to change or move on.
Step it up.
And, yeah, step it up. So, you know, I was like, okay, I don't want to keep telling the story, you know, with Art and Jillian from Courage and Truth. Let me tell another story that I've always had in the back of my mind, set in the same universe. And that was this story. And I just, like, I told myself, what was it? We started the project, you know, the early workings of it last August, but once the new year came along, I was like, okay, I want to be one of the emerging directors of this new decade. And, you know, here we are now. Like, last week, I just got incorporated and everything.
Cool.
You know, I'm a business owner. I'm, like, starting everything up the right way. Going through the proper channels. No longer guerrilla style. So, I'm just a normal guy now. Doing things the right way. Straight arrow.
Straight arrow. Awesome. Except for maybe the comic.
Yeah.
Except for maybe that.
Are you looking to end Pure and Hidden Truth as it is? Or, like, somehow wrap up that story?
I will wrap up the story. Here's the funny thing. Here's a little story about that. We pretty much finished shooting the Pure Hidden Truth last year. And, you know, obviously, you know, I had my schedule like, oh, I can keep updating this for, you know, next year, year and a half, 2 years, whatever. And we finished shooting except for one final scene. It was a pretty big scene. That's why we kind of held it off, because, you know, we had to get everybody together, and I'm very flexible with people's schedules.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I, you know, I was waiting for everybody's schedules to jive so we can do it. And then the holiday came around, like, it was like Christmas time, and I wanted to wait until after the holiday. And then my lead actress, she told me, you know, she's moving to Korea in a week, so, like, let me know if you want to film anything. I was like, what? So basically, I couldn't shoot that final scene, which is very, very, very crucial to the story. So we already have the ending shot. We have the epilogue shot, all kinds of stuff for the final part of the story. But we didn't have that crucial scene. And I couldn't figure out how to shoot around it. I thought about it, but it just wouldn't work. So what I did was I recasted her. So, and I think I have three pages left. And then we're going to go to break while I work on the film. But in like June, July... we're going to reshoot the second half of the story with a new actor. So I have a little joke like, hey, your hair looks different or something. But I don't want to say I don't care, but...
Is she very different looking? I mean...
Yeah, she's different looking, but... Yeah, I'm fine with it. So,
well, it's happened in TV, so...
I'm reshooting the whole entire second half with a new actress for the lead. Yeah.
All right. Well, I just got one last question or thing to bring up, I guess, because I have to. You have Jetty everywhere in the Peculiars movie. Yay!
Yeah.
I do have to ask, what made you decide to go ahead and try having Jenny everywhere in your movie?
When I do things, I always want to do something that's different. Like, you know, most people, when they do independent film, they do something safe. You know, they do a coming-of-age tale about, you know, some kids in high school or something. I wanted to do a superhero movie. And I really like for me, I see the Peculiars as a way to, like, bring more attention to the webcomic universe because, I mean, it's a spinoff from a webcomic. I want to bring more attention to webcomics, and I also want to bring more attention to my comic.
Of course.
But also, I really like the idea of an open-source comic book character. And, you know, she's never really been, like, you know, live-action film form before. And I want to bring more attention to the Jenny Everywhere character. I thought that was an amazing idea. And, you know, so I was like, let me use this to my advantage and let me, you know, shed some light and bring, you know, blow this whole story up. So yeah, Jenny is one of my favorite characters in here. So you guys will like her.
Excellent.
Cisco, please tell them, where did you see Jenny Everywhere for the first time? Nudge, nudge, nudge.
The Union of Heroes.
Yes!
That is right. There was Jenny Everywhere had an appearance in Union of Heroes as well. So that leaves Anthony to do something.
It's come up, definitely. Don't have quite the right story for her, but have one advantage with the Night Zero is that in addition to our ongoing serial story, mm-hmm. we have the freedom to jump over and do little vignettes and standalone right. comics. So I think she'll make an appearance in one of those in the next year or so.
That would be very cool.
So awesome to see her competing against the Night Zero zombies. I would love to see this.
Excellent. Well, I think that's pretty much going to be it for the topic for this show, unless anybody else has some things to say or has some questions, because then we're just going to go on to some webcomic news if you guys want to stick around for that.
I can do a little invitation for the listeners to this podcast. If you are around in Germany at the 2nd of October, you are all invited to come to Dortmund to listen to and watch the first live reading of Union of Heroes done in a local cinema.
Wow.
The photocomic on the big screen and some of the actors reading their voices there live and in color. And it will be a very, very funny evening, I think.
Oh, yeah, that sounds great.
Awesome. Yeah. And, I should put this in there. The Peculiars also has a Kickstarter, so you guys can go check that out. Look in the show notes for the link to the Kickstarter. And support the webcomic to film The Peculiars. I can't.
Very good.
Movie. I can't do a good pitch. That was totally unprepared. But go check it out. I'll have the link in the show notes. And... right now we're going to go over who's advertising on the Webcomic Beacon website on our Project Wonderful Ads. First up, we have A Distant Soil at adistantsoil.com, and that's at our leaderboard. For our tower, we have Nikki510, or however you're supposed to say that, at Nikki, that's Nikki with a Y, at 510.com. And Beware the Slumpy at bewaretheslumpy.com has our ad at the bottom of every individual post. And if you happen to be around Twitter and paying attention, Mark and I were on the Geek Life podcast at thegeeklife.tv. And that episode is now up for people to listen to. We talk about webcomics. It was basically Melissa, she's been on the show before, just... like a minute or two before they started recording, hey, you want to be on the podcast? So sorry, Tanya, that you weren't there.
Oh, that's fine. It's good.
So that's episode 58 of The Geek Life at thegeeklife.tv. And I'm going to check our emails to see if we have any milestones. We do have a milestone I forgot to mention last month, and that was episode... All Over the House at alloverthehouse.net has hit 100 episodes, so congratulations on that. That's from Zoe. She called in on the show last week, only it was part of the call-ins of the section of the show I accidentally deleted, so... So congratulations on your milestone. She also sent us some art, some Becky art, and we do have a handful of art of Becky's right now, which will be going in order as they have been received for the show covers. And of course, you can always go to webcomicbeacon.com/art to see the unadulterated images that have been sent to us. You can see it in full.
Unadulterated.
Was that the right word?
Unadulterated?
Or unadulterated. You get to choose between those.
The original art is available. And, of course, let's see here. Next week, I'm not entirely sure what we're doing, but we might be talking about time travel as a subject. To talk about a subject.
Are we here next week?
Wait a minute. What is next week?
It's the second Sunday.
It's the second Sunday. That's right. Next week, we are off. The 13th, we are off. The Sunday after that, the 20th, we might be talking about time travel, because there's a lot of things to talk about in that, especially if you want to use it in your story. But yeah. Also on the 27th, we're having Erica Moen, who does the webcomic Dar, or did, because it's over with now, but there's a lot of great comics that she's done, so she'll be on the show for that, and that'll be cool. And so that's all for this month, and you can check out our calendar at webcomicbeacon.com/calendar. Are you okay, Anthony?
Yeah, a little bit of a thing, but I'm all right. Sorry, everyone.
That's quite all right.
All good.
And on that note...
It's the scratchers.
It's the scratchers.
I'm under attack.
Well, that is all for this week, for this episode of the Webcomic Beacon, episode 122 on Photo Comics. And so, Anthony of NightZero.com, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Cisco Davis Jr. of PureAndHiddenTruth.com, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Actually, it's WebcomicBeacon.com.
What?
Never mind.
Okay. And Arne of UnionOfHeroes.com, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, too, and heroic regards from Germany.
Excellent. This has been Fess of PSIWebcomic.com.
This is Tanya of DaisiesAndJet.com.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
That's all. See you next episode.
That's all for now. Tune in next time at WebcomicBeacon.com.
I had somebody suggest last week that because my eyeballs are still stupid, that instead of drawing the comic, I should just do a photo comic. Now I know that it's a lot of work, so no.